Welcome to Locked On Cardinals. I am back, Alex Clancy. Follow me on Twitter at Clancy's Corner. Bo is off today. Did a great job when I was in Atlanta holding down the fort. The Locked On Cardinals podcast, number one daily podcast network, is the Locked On Podcast Network. Just say, hey, Alexa. Get an Alexa, first of all. Alexa's the greatest thing. Hey, Alexa, listen to Locked On Cardinals. Cool. She plays it for you, the most recent episode. This is episode 184. So, I'm back. I was in Atlanta covering the Super Bowl Sunday to Friday of last week. And I'll tell you what, there's a couple things that I took away from, you know, covering the Super Bowl. It was the first time. It was a fantastic experience. Atlanta's a great city. Did a lot for us media members. There were a couple things that I took away, and this includes the game that I'll talk about briefly and what it has to do with the Arizona Cardinals moving forward. But I was with Kenny Crash and Richie, the other co-hosts of the show that I'm on, Fox Sports 910 Phoenix 1-4 on the Freaks. And we took a catalog of the jerseys and t-shirts and hats that we saw from all the teams around the NFL during the NFL experience when we were there and just walking around Radio Row. 30 or 31 teams we saw represented by fans in Atlanta. One of the teams that we did not see, that's right, the Arizona Cardinals. Well, and we weren't necessarily blown away. I mean, it's Atlanta. It's not like, you know, the Cardinals' contingent travels, especially with how putrid they've been of late. But not one hat. There were hundreds of thousands of people there. Not one hat. Not one Larry Fitzgerald jersey. I mean, that's cheating. Having a Larry Fitzgerald jersey, wearing that around, is cheating because you don't even see it as a Cardinals jersey. You see it as a Hall of Fame jersey, pretty much. He just continues to play at a high level. Not even a Larry Fitzgerald jersey? I mean, come on. 31 out of 32 teams represented, and the Arizona Cardinals were the one team that were not represented. So it's a little, it kind of puts things into perspective like, hey, we're not crazy. The fan base isn't incredible. And listen, for the diehard Cardinals fans that I've got reached out to on Twitter, I've got direct messages, people have pulled me aside, said, hey, man, take it easy on the Cardinals. You know, the ones that love them, you know, God love you for just being completely blissfully ignorant to everything that's going on. When it's like, you know what, they're my team. I love them. Good for you. But they don't show up in droves when the full public of the United States is in one spot showing their garb for their favorite team, and the Cardinals are not represented. Not even a Fitz jersey? That's so easy. Even if you weren't a Cardinals fan, and you know, maybe you went to University of Pittsburgh when he was there. Not even a Fitz jersey? I don't know. So the game last night had two kind of factions of people. And I'm removing people who hate the Patriots because that's not the point of what I'm about to talk about. There were two factions. One, I'm bored. This would have been better if the Saints were in it. And listen, I'm not, again, that's not part of this conversation. One is bored because there weren't 150 points scored. It wasn't a Big 12 matchup. And two, the people that really watched the game. The people that really watched, and I'll tell you who a part of this contingent were, everybody that hired young offensive coaches. Cliff Kingsbury, etc., etc. Zach Taylor, Cincinnati, etc., who hasn't signed the papers yet, etc., etc. Where it's like, you know what? We're going to be at the forefront of this Sean McVay mania. Because it works. They may have excremented in their proverbial diapers last night. Boring for some, telling for others. Boring for some, people that were just watching the game at face value, where, you know, they had a 9 and a 7 on their squares, so, you know, they need a lot of points to be scored and not just field goals. It was telling. It was telling because take away the fact that Bill Belichick is the most genius mind in the NFL ever, offense or defense, it's withstood the test of time. Look at his two latest opponents. Kansas City, aside from a crazy 7-minute span in the fourth quarter, held them in check and kept the all-encompassing of the NFL now, Sean McVay. Oh, he's an offensive genius. Oh, it's a new wave of the NFL to 3 points. This bastard couldn't get in the end zone because of Bill Belichick's defense. Oh, the offensive line. It was the offensive line that failed Sean McVay and Jared Goff, and he didn't have any time in the pocket. Why do you think that is? Because Bill Belichick brought the house. You thought it was bad? You thought he brought the house against Philip Rivers in the divisional round? No, no, no. Bill Belichick said, you know what? I'm better, I know it, and I'm going to prove it to you. Yesterday, last night. So the telling nature of that game was the sheer fact that defense still wins. Look at that defense that the Patriots had. They've been bad all year. They haven't been Kansas City bad, but they've been bad all year. They've given up points. They gave up leads. Everything. But when it came down to it, that defense won the Super Bowl. And Sean McVay looked like, and Jared Goff looked like Rich Gannon against Tampa Bay in the Super Bowl years back when it was number one offense versus number one defense. When it's one game, neutral territory, and I guess neutral is kind of tongue-in-cheek because there was probably 70% Patriots fans there last night. When it comes down to it, better coaching and defense wins. So, the telling part about it, I will tell you after the break. Locked On Cardinals, Alex Clancy. Bob Brock out. I'll be right back. Welcome back, Locked On Cardinals. Alex Clancy here. Follow me on Twitter at Clancy's Corner. Bob Brock is out today. Follow the podcast at Locked On AZ Cards. So I'm back from Atlanta. I've been talking about the game last night, and really I'm going to pivot to how it pertains to the Arizona Cardinals. Now, people were bored, or they were watching what really the future of the NFL is. And potentially, it's shambles. Because as long as Bill Belichick is coaching, and long as Tom Brady is playing, everybody else is just waiting in line. Kansas City, Rams, back-to-back weeks. The Patriots are like, you know what? We're better. You were older. We're definitely not as talented offensively. But we're just going to beat you. And we're going to change the script. This is the script the Rams were given. You know, for the table read of the game, this is what's going to happen. This is what we're going to do offensively. This is what we're going to do defensively. And at halftime, Bill Belichick and Josh McDaniels ripped up the script and did something completely different. That defense played like their lives truly depended on it. That defense played like they wanted to be there and the Rams offense didn't. So, this is not a Patriots podcast. This is not a Rams podcast. I'm going to explain to you why the telling nature of that game may directly affect the Arizona Cardinals. For a couple reasons. One, don't freak out that Sean McVay was held to 3 points in the most important game he's ever coached. Don't freak out. They weren't ready to be there yet. They just weren't ready, and that's totally fine. Everything flashy and new is only flashy and new until it's put to the test. If it comes out the other side victorious, then it truly is flashy and new. Otherwise, it's just a CZ or fool's gold. And when you look at the rosters, obviously, the Rams are more talented, especially offensively and up front, defensively. But when you look at, this is what I explained it as. It's when you're on the basketball court, and I've used this analogy before. You're on the basketball court, there's two captains. The first captain, whether it's through flip of a coin or winning the last game, you get the first pick. The second captain gets second and two. So you get the best player, and the second captain gets arguably the second and third best player, and then it goes 1-1-1 down the list. In this situation, the Patriots got first pick of the they were the captain for coaching, and they were the captain for players. They got the first pick of both. So take what you want for the rest of the second and third best player and the second and third best coaches, even though arguably yesterday, Brian Flores and Bill Belichick were the two best coaches on the field. The Patriots got first pick twice with Tom Brady and Bill Belichick. So it just wasn't really a fair matchup, even though the offensive firepower was surely graded higher for the Los Angeles Rams. So pivoting to the Arizona Cardinals. Say they have Sean McVay Jr. or Senior. I don't know because he's older than Sean McVay. Say they have Sean McVay Part 2 in Cliff Kingsbury. Say he completely changes the dynamic of the offense and they start to actually put up points. Just say that's the case. Say that's the case. Okay, that's the case. The reason why this shift is important and the reason why last night was important is because they already have a good defense that hasn't been given a fair shake the last two seasons. The Arizona Cardinals defense is the most underrated part of their team. They have stars, bona fide Pro Bowl All-Pro stars. Patrick Peterson, Chandler Jones. They have those guys. Guys that would get $100 million on the open market, and Chandler Jones already got paid. Patrick Peterson probably will be coming, depending on how much they want to allocate for the funds that they have forthcoming with the $70 million or whatever they're going to have this offseason. They have bona fide stars. The Patriots don't. The Rams do, but it's really only one guy, and the other two guys are just names in Marcus Peters, although he played very well last night, and Aqib Talib. And Dominican Sue, fine, but these guys are older. Patrick Peterson and Chandler Jones are bona fide in their prime stars. So, if Cliff Kingsbury can get people to put up points, look at what defense can still do if the right scheme is put in place. Look at what it can do. And in no way am I comparing Bill Belichick and Vance Joseph. I'm not doing that. But if you have a scheme put in place that keeps the opposing offense guessing, you have a chance to win any game. And I'm not saying that the Cardinals are going to win ugly next year if they win, because it's probably going to be, oh man, it's going to be either the most beautiful thing you've ever seen offensively, or it's going to be a complete train wreck. But if you have a good defense, you are in every single game. The only help you need is not having your offense go three and out every possession. Alex Clancy here, Bo Brock off today. I am back from Atlanta. I've got a lot to say. And on the other side, I will wrap up the first conversation post-Super Bowl where the 2019 offseason officially begins, and I'll tell you the first thing the Cardinals need to do. That's next. Locked On Cardinals. I'll be right back. Wrapping up here, Alex Clancy. I am back. Follow me on Twitter at Clancy's Corner. It was a great time in Atlanta, I'll tell you what. Saw some big stars. And the funny part, and anybody that's been in radio or listens to a lot of sports radio will probably mirror this. So I was at media night, Tuesday night, where they just paraded all the major players out, and there were 1,000 cameras in front of them, and you know they'd answer questions that they've been asked for the last 20 years of their life, and they just had to go through an answer. There was an hour. I was walking around and seeing guys like Sal Palantonio and Bill Plaschke and Tim Cowlishaw, and I ran into Pauly from the DP show and ended up talking to him for 15 minutes. Those were the highlights of my trip. It wasn't seeing Tom Brady up close, although it was pretty cool. I did fanboy a little bit when I saw TB12, but it was seeing Pauly and talking to him for 20 minutes. That was the highlight of my trip, which was, it was awesome. But, okay, anyways, that was a total fanboy moment. So, the 2019 NFL offseason has begun. What do the Cardinals need to do first in an effort to improve upon next season? And there's a couple ways you can go about this. And to a layman, it'd be, oh, spend the money. Go get the best guys. I don't care who it is. The first big name that wants to come here or close to a big name, give them all the money. Okay. It makes sense, but pump the brakes. One of the first things that you need to do as an Arizona Cardinal for the front office is have a meeting with everybody and determine what the list of needs are, rank them in order of importance. And you need to get Vance Joseph. You need to get Tom Clements, Cliff Kingsbury, everybody in the front office and the coaching staff in a room together. And I'm sure it's happened to a certain degree, but you need to put on a grease board. And a grease board and a whiteboard are the same damn thing, okay? I call it a grease board. Get off my ass. That's what I call it. People have been giving me crap. I know it's a whiteboard, but it's a grease board. Okay, it's a grease board. Anyway. You sit down, you go 1 to 10, and you say, what is our biggest glaring need in descending order? Is it wide receiver? Maybe. Is it linebacker? Probably. Especially an outside linebacker that's run 3-4 before. What is it? Is it corner? Because the thing is, this is the main thing that should be written in red on the dry erase grease board. Get what you can in free agency. It'll make the draft easier. Fill as many holes as you can with merited players, players of merit, not just guys to fill holes that you'll give $8 million for 1 year rentals. See what you can do to build a foundation for the future. Because right now there are several cracks, and all you have is, I don't know, Elmer glue, keeping the cracks in the foundation. You need to get as much as you can this offseason with veterans that have leadership qualities and veterans that can produce, especially offensively, so you have less pressure on yourself during the draft. It is imperative that you get as many pieces as you can with impact players before the draft. So when the draft day comes, you're not like, oh my God, we have 15 things we need to fill. What are we going to do? We have to trade down. Oh, we have to. We can't take the best player. We have to trade down because we need as many picks as possible. No. There are hundreds and thousands of athletes in the NFL. Go get some that can help you at a reasonable price. And then draft guys at impact positions where at that point you can afford a learning curve because you've already backed yourself up with veterans. I'm Alex Clancy. Bo Brock will be back tomorrow. We will talk more about this because now it's time. Now it's time, baby. What are you going to do for us now, Steve Keim? We'll talk about it tomorrow. I'm Alex Clancy. Bo will be back tomorrow. Locked on Cardinals. Check you then.